Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Junior Bridgman, John McConklin, Joey Devine, Harvey Catchings, Raymond Sessions, Sean Keane, Flint Robinson, Zaid Abdulaziz, the Kangaroo, Patreons, Franz Essig, thank you Franz, Dave Rock, thank you Dave, Eric Gunderson, thank you Eric, musical guest, The Promise Ring, and now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast. And I've got to say, Sean, it's rare you say a band that takes me back to a time and place. But The Promise Ring is certainly a band that takes me back to a time and place. And that place is Monterey, California. The Dorms. 2002 was a weird time. Anyway, Sean Keane, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to watch some NBA basketball. It's 106 degrees here. Oh, I mean, it's 85 right now, but it was 106 earlier today. And you know why? Because the NBA is heating up. My dad did some yard work with his shirt off, too, and then came inside and was like, I think my back is sunburned. And I was like, why didn't you wear a shirt?
Wait, your dad did yard work with his shirt off?
It's a classic move. He likes to do that when people are coming over. Mm-hmm. And usually he's got to burn his back all the time.
All right. We got a lot to talk about today, so let's go through this quickly. Business Twitter, you can follow us there at Round Rock Pod. On Gmail, email us there at roundrockpod@gmail.com. 5-star review, do not give me a warnings. And also, it's illegal. Tim Cook will throw you in jail if you give us less than 5 stars. Because we live in a state where billionaires can do what they want. And that's why he can throw you in jail. Patreon.com/roundrockpod, where Sean, we've switched it up a little bit, haven't we?
We have. There's been a lot of content recently.
Yeah,
I think.
Used to do not so much content, and
And it was all podcasts still.
Right. We did do a podcast this week.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying there's a lot more variety now on
like,
there's still podcast.
There's sketches, there's songs. At some point this week, we talked about who the Waluigi of the NBA is. I'm going to play a clip from that right now.
I just mean, like, from a, like, branding standpoint, where it's like...
Well, this isn't a very good place. I'm going to pick randomly again.
Is the more important part here. We got to get... one where body type matters, I believe.
I think that's correct. But I just think that Lamar Odom is like too sad to be Luigi.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut it there cuz you're right. But what I will say is, you know what's going up today, Sean?
What's that?
Our friend Corbin A. Smith was so upset about our child video.
He called us 5 times from outside a supermarket.
Uh-huh. I'm going to put up all 5 on the Patreon tomorrow. But here's one I picked randomly.
Okay, great.
Okay, cut me off. We're back to this other thing. Okay, so Michael Jordan, he is obviously Mario. LeBron James. You take him, you stack him next to Jordan. He's bigger than Mario. He's stronger than Mario. He has a sort of more complicated personality than Mario. You know, let's just say that LeBron James wears his relationship with money on his sleeve a little more than Michael Jordan did.
Mm-hmm. And then, Sean, you put up a couple podcasts.
I will say, I think in response to some of the things that Corbin's going to raise.
Oh, we are not going to deign them with a response.
No. All I'm saying is we were just picking current NBA players. I believe we even advanced the Michael Jordan as Mario argument.
We do not respond to a lunatic raving in a shopping mall.
I do like to imagine what that was like for the patrons of, I think it was Safeway. It could have been a Plaid Pantry, I think.
Anyway, there's 20 minutes of Corbin screaming at us about Mario. That'll be up on Patreon today.
Today, I put up my review of Dwayne Wade's game show, The Cube.
Mm-hmm.
And, the main thing that I came up with from that is
Spoil it.
it's early. I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, but basically the... Joey, do you know what a panopticon is?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this ideal prison designed by Jeremy Bentham in 1790. And the whole idea is that the prison's designed in such a way that the prisoners can never tell if they're being watched.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, this is a much more humane prison than what we were doing, flaying them all the time.
Right. The prisoner.
Yeah, it's kind of like that,
right?
but also, every modern corporation also has that same mentality of what if we just constantly observed everyone at work all the time? Anyway, that's the cube. The cube is wow, wouldn't that be horrifying if someone was watching you when you were trying to complete simple tasks? Mm-hmm. And then it's that's the American workplace under capitalism.
Yep.
Anyway, but also I talk about the game and.
Friend also Randy LeDoux works there. We learned that last week on the Patreon.
That is true. So I don't think they're going to cancel it. I put up a podcast with my friend Ruby as well.
It's not your friend, a child.
She was 4 when we recorded this. Mm-hmm. It's actually from last year. We haven't seen each other during the pandemic.
Tell them we did once.
That is true. I just thought I've just had it. I never cleared it with you. Basically,
that's fine. Yeah, because you are allowed to do whatever you want.
I didn't want you to feel threatened by a new co-host.
I mean, I am always threatened all the time by everything that happens, which is why I listened to The Promise Ring when I was 20 years old. And then also buy our t-shirts at the t-shirt store in the link at tpublic.com.
Sean, the other thing, I know what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Summer League.
Oh, yeah.
I think we want to take Tillman for all he's worth again, right?
Oh, yeah. He's got even less now, so it's going to be so much sweeter when you take his money. You took his money last time.
I did. And I bought our listeners drinks with it. So here's the deal, folks. It's not a very formal Round Ball Rock meetup, but we are doing a meetup. Sean, we're going to be there the 8th through the 11th, probably, right?
Yeah, that's right. Right. Is that like Monday through Thursday?
Yes, that is. Sorry. Monday. That's Sunday through Thursday is 8th through the 12th. I think I'm going to be there the really 9/11. So let's say our meetup, the Round Ball Rock listener meetup, where we take Tillman for every cent he's worth, is August 10th, Tuesday, August 10th.
Well, let's do it either late or early, because right. I actually have to do a Zoom comedy show at 7 p.m.
Right. No, it's because we have to do it after the last game. So at 10:30 p.m. at the Billionaire Buyer slot machine in the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, Nevada.
The most narcissistic slot machine possible.
Everybody bring as much money as you can, and we're all going to put it in one slot machine and take turns max bet pulling it, baby. Also, I have a bad news. It's a $1 slot machine, so a max bet pull is like $10.
We're going to own that yacht or the other yacht.
Yeah, Boardwalk. I think we did it, right? That's the business.
Yeah, that's a lot business? Of great business. No, that was great business.
Oh, good. Let's go to the news, shall we?
Let's do it.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what's our top story?
Our top story tonight, it's been a big week, obviously, for news.
So much basketball news.
And our top story is that the Winklevoss twins, Tyler and Cameron, have formed a band.
I'm sorry?
The Winklevoss twins, the true founders of Facebook, the crypto pioneers, played by Brett Samson's BFF Army Hammer in the movie The Social Network. They hang out all the time. They formed a band. Tyler is the singer, and Cameron's the guitarist, because he's the shy one.
So these are the Winklevoss twins that are not cannibals, right? The actor who played them is
the actor is a cannibal. As far as we know, the Winklevoss twins are not cannibals. I consider them the Morris twins of the tech industry.
I was gonna say, are they the yin to what, it's less a yin yang thing and it's more an East Coast West Coast thing.
Okay,
are they the East Coast Lopez twin, where it's like, oh, because
they
money,
went to Harvard
evil,
and they went to,
they
Stanford.
Went to Harvard, the where the Lopez twins went to Stanford, they're the inherently only good.
Right. I mean, the difference is just that they are actually identical. Although, true. I kind of wonder how much Robin and Brooke would look alike if their hair was just the same.
Right.
I mean, would you? I don't know. But yeah, they're evil. They're money crazy. The Lopez twins have been involved in a scam, but I just don't think they realized they were buying stolen Disney merchandise.
Okay, and first off, leave Brooke out of that. It was,
oh,
just,
that was
Robin
just Robin
buying illegal Robin stolen Disney World merchandise.
Now, if it's just Robin, I believe it's a little more
it is more nefarious.
More nefarious. just fundamentally, it's more
Brooke
nefarious.
Brooke is the sweeter of the two, for sure.
Yeah, he was the one who did musical theater at Stanford. Robin did not do that.
So what is the name of this band that the Winklevoss Twins
They have
started?
Not been named yet. They've invited 200 people to see their show. They already jammed in front of an audience at Cameron's NoHo place, flat, loft. I'm sure it's a loft. Of course they live in a loft. Mm-hmm. They don't have a name yet. So, I mean, if you have an idea, like what's the opposite of an oasis, like a murderous desert, that would be a good name. Are there any other bands with twins? The Probably Shouldn't Breeders,
or the DeLeo twins, brothers twins.
I don't think they are.
I mean, if any grunge band had twins in it, it would be STP, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've seen them live, and they're, like, pretty weird looking. I think they're just brothers, though.
The Proclaimers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So they would be, like, the Disclaimers, and you'd have to, like, opt into a weird thing that lets them take your data if you go to
Well, I mean, the Bee Gees, obviously.
What would their version of it be?
I mean,
the VDs. I feel like that
Tegan and Sarah.
Are they twins?
Yeah.
So would they just be called Tyler and Cameron?
I guess.
What if they were like Tegan and Tyler?
They should go by Army and Hammer.
Army and Hammer, that's a good name. I like that. What about what if they were like Really Bad Charlotte?
Blonde redhead that has twins in it, apparently.
That has twins in it? Okay, so they'd just be like, no pubes at all. Mm-hmm. That would be their version of
that. The National, they have twins, apparently.
The National has twins?
I looked up what are the best bands with twins, and they would be okay. So their says the National
their version
has
of that, their version of that band is incorporated in international waters to avoid taxes.
Sure. Clap your hands. Say, hey, yeah, they have twins. Apparently,
poke your friend. Say no. We invented Facebook.
I'm not. That should just be the name of their band, right?
What if they were like Trace Campesinos? What? Sue us. They do like suing people. That's more their accomplishment than anything else.
Oh, I know what the name of their band should be, Sean.
What is it?
Jenny Lewis and the Winklevoss Twins.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Perfect. Also, I just wanted to mention this because this is a fact I learned. One of their many lawsuits was they sued Treats with an exclamation point. You might not have heard of Tweets, but it's a porno mag.
Oh, great.
That they were early investors in, and then they sued the publisher of Treats in court.
Rich people rule. I love it.
I love it. They're so cool. We're going to check out their band. Hopefully, look, they're in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
The Straight Shots in New York City.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, are they better or worse than JD and the
Straight Shot? It's hard for me to say that someone's going to be worse than JD and the Straight Shot, Joey. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we do have to have another album review episode.
Oh my God, that's right, because they have a discography. Yeah. Are we going to bring in our same experts, or do you have some other?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Let's not give it away yet.
Yeah. Sean. We have an apology.
Oh,
I don't
have
an apology drop, but I do have a correction drop. Should I play the
correction drop? That's
it's so rare that we get to use it because we're always right.
Look, I know that Sean and Joey seem like they're incapable of making mistakes.
We do.
But it's not true. Even gods make mistakes, which Sean and Joey definitely are. They made me say that. So here is a correction. That's right. We're doing corrections now. Everyone does whoopsie sometimes. Well, not me, because I'm a robot. Here's a correction.
All right, Sean, what's our apology here?
Well, okay, this is my fault. You were out of town. I accidentally did this. I said we, but it's me. I accidentally sent an email about our integration process, it went out to a lot of people, like listeners, NBA people, my media mailing list, everybody who invested in Slamson Corp, and then, you know, all the friends that I got on the hacked list of Robin Lopez's Facebook account.
Brooke Lopez sent us a response at halftime, and it said, that, what is this?
I felt terrible. It wasn't supposed to go out. It's an email about our integration process. We were trying to fold in Slammed Up, our podcast within a podcast, within the regular Roundball Rock podcast thematic universe. We're truly sorry. These emails will not continue. You can just delete them. The integration process is done, and we are required to ask you to watch Mayor of Easttown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, sorry about that, everybody.
Great. Sean. Can I play you a little clip now before we get to our second story?
Yeah, sure.
A virus cheating us of this opportunities. It's the guys making decisions saying, no, we're too scared. We're going to shut everything down. Sit in your house and be careful. My kids and my grandkids hearing these things and accepting them as truth. And when I know by my significant amount of research that it isn't, and it's very frustrating.
Well, what is that?
That was John Stockton in a anti-vaxxer documentary.
Does that just feel like how did that come out today? Like, what? They were like, hey, well, you know, Utah Jazz have an elimination game. Like, better. It's hot right now. Let's see what this 60-year-old man has to say.
Here's the best
about
part.
The pandemic.
It isn't, and it's very frustrating.
Okay, wrong part. This part here.
Significant amount of research that it isn't.
His significant amount of research, Sean. Mm-hmm.
Living in Spokane, Washington, and being basically legally forbidden to leave the house. Mm-hmm. Where do you think this research took place, Joey?
I'm going to guess Facebook.
I think it was Facebook. I'm pretty sure it was Facebook. It's weird because also the way that is shot, and I mean, we have just seen the trailer. We know it's a 9-part series. We'll be reviewing each of the 9 parts.
No,
Patreon,
we will obviously. Not. No, we will not. I feel bad enough having given these people a click at all.
So can I tell you just some of the people that? Okay, so the trailer starts with a guy named Dr. Ben Tapper.
Oh, Jake's brother.
Jake's brother. They reveal that he's actually a chiropractor. At Wellness Point, I thought he had Conor McGregor's hair and a peninsula for a beard.
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Okay, there's a guy named Brian Hooker, who's apparently a famous anti-vaxxer. I just thought it was funny that his name was Brian Hooker. There's a guy who's the founder of thedr.com, which is not the website for the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. It is a holistic medicine site.
Sure.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is quoted there.
Of course.
Just continuing his dad's legacy. He didn't want anyone to get shot. You know what I mean? And then there's a guy named Del Bigtree, which is one of the funniest names I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. He is listed as a TV producer because he was a field producer on a couple episodes of Dr. Phil.
Great.
He also made the famous documentary that captivated people from Jenny McCarthy all the way to Jim Carrey about how vaccines give you autism. He's also famous for wearing a Star of David at anti-vaxxer events because people who are unvaccinated obviously are treated like the Jews before the Holocaust, apparently. Yep. Also, the collection of haircuts is insane. Mm-hmm. Like, all of them look like Tim Heidecker wigs.
Right. The whole thing feels like an HEI Tim Heidecker production, in fact. Uh-huh. Even the faces John Stockton is making into his webcam.
Yeah. It's so low budget that at first I was like, I'm not even sure John Stockton consented to be in this. Like they might have just hacked his webcam when he was just talking to a friend, like one of those people that was like, maybe we can catch him masturbating and blackmail him. But I don't think John Stockton masturbates. He's too controlled. You know what I mean?
Can I read you a quote from him from website?
Yes.
This is not in the trailer, but this is a quote from him.
Why are they burying the lead?
one of the things that sticks in my head is losing someone like Steph Curry to basketball would be a crime. I just think what a disappointment to this world it would be if that guy didn't become who he is. So I wonder who we are missing out on right now. That's about abortion, right? Is this also a documentary about abortion?
It has to be about abortion. Like what? I mean, does he think that the vaccine would have made Steph Curry unable to play basketball anymore?
I have no idea.
I don't look, I'm not understand. Again, it is not clear. Now, he's done a lot of research. He's probably done more Facebook research than me. But also, I wonder what we're who we are missing out on right now. Like, it's clearly a quote about abortion,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. So it's only mildly racist that he's like, yeah, that black guy would have been aborted.
I mean,
and not like remembering that he played with Steph Curry's dad or something.
Here's what I think. Look, I also would be sad if Steph Curry didn't exist, mainly because it would mean home.
It's coming back. Joe,
and it definitely wouldn't be 3D and 2D like it is.
You know what I learned about Holy Moly?
What did you learn about Holy Moly?
The exact same spot as Wipeout.
Of course.
I mean, like, it's not a surprise, but they were like, no, same thing. And they rebuild a lot of the holes, but the classics, they stay up like year round.
Mm-hmm.
The Santa Clarita Valley at 2 in the morning when they film. Holy Moly.
Great.
And people's families come and the children are almost always on the brink of tears because it's so late at night.
Here's my question about this John Stockton thing.
Yeah.
Is he taking one for Karl Malone here? Because people had started printing articles about how Karl Malone was a bad guy again.
Right. It's like I think he's saying two things. He's first trying to distract people from his good friend Karl Malone. This is another in a lifetime of assists, but also he's congratulating Karl Malone on convincing the teenager he raped to carry her baby to term. Mm. And that's nice, you know? That was a rough one. I'm sorry. That's Karl Malone's a bad guy. He's a really terrible guy. That's a critique of Karl Malone, but also of John Stockton.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy conservative Catholic anti-abortionist.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I am glad Sharunas Marshallonis' son is going to St. Mary's instead of fucking Gonzaga. So
here's
Stockton.
The thing. I don't think you need to reevaluate his career. I think you do need to reevaluate his role as a Gonzaga booster supreme. like get that guy out of he likes to open the gym and he's a real jerk when he plays pickup basketball with 18-year-olds.
Except Sean, Gonzaga is a Jesuit university. They're probably super into this, you know.
Oh yeah, I'm just saying there was like a celebratory article about what a good recruiter John Stockton was. I'm like, let's just stop pretending that Gonzaga's good.
Look,
you know what I mean? I mean, obviously the leadership of John Stockton means that they can make it to the final and then choke their guts out at the end. Like, obviously that's going to happen with the influence of John Stockton to your program, that you're like, wow, there are a lot of white guys and they can make it all the way to the end, but they're never going to win a title.
I was on a flight with Mark Few to Spokane.
Oh my God.
Earlier this month from Los Angeles to Spokane. He was wearing a mask. So good on him. Most of the people in Spokane were, but Canadian tuxedo, Sean.
Oh my God, really? Full
jeans and
full
a jean
denim?
Jacket. Yeah.
I mean, that.
I thought it was Skip Bayless at first, but then I was like, oh, that's Mark Few. We're flying to Spokane.
yeah, he has that look of a guy who's like always sunburned and out of breath.
Yeah.
Like angry because he's only eaten steamed broccoli for.
Sean, while we're talking about creeps and the Jazz, you have something you wanted to say about Quinn Snyder's behavior this week?
So I'm a big, the main thing I monitor in the NBA, the thing I would say that I'm truly an expert in is Quinn Snyder's post-game press conferences.
He
blinks
favorite.
Like a goddamn alien. And after the Game 5 loss, I don't even understand how he was blinking so fast. There were moments I posted a 12-second clip on Twitter. I think he blinks 22 times. And then...
Yeah, go ahead. I watched it, and see, it's funny you get Alien out of his blinking there, because to me, I was like, is he hooked up to a polygraph?
Yeah. Well, he like, blinks way more when they lose, too, which is weird.
It's because he's a nervous liar.
Uh-huh.
And I am now convinced that he is in a Gone Girl situation. That is something else. Something is happening behind the scenes that he feels the need to lie about constantly.
Uh-huh.
That's my take on Quinn Snyder now.
Well, it holds up because when he's not blinking, he is often staring at the table in front of him, which is like a classic lie tell. Mm-hmm. And there are points in this. I filmed it for 48 seconds, and I think he blinked 240 times, where he's looking down. Like as if he's looking at notes, his eyes appear to be closed and the eyelids are still like he's somehow blinking with his eyes closed. I've never seen it before.
Yeah. It's like,
what'd you do? Quinn, where is she? Where'd you put her, Quinn? Quinn, where is she? Where'd you take her?
Speaking of liars, Sean.
Yes.
You know what you need to lie a lot to do?
What's that?
Become a professional gambler or appear on the Bill Simmons podcast. We've got to talk about Haralabob.
Oh,
it's
this
time.
Is...
Hold on.
Goddamn, this is a good story.
Hold on. Hold on. That's right. The Dallas Mavericks are in trouble. Somebody is sweating. This Shark Tank theme song I downloaded, it only loops the one part? Hey, Sharks, I'm a professional gambler who once appeared on the Bill Simmons podcast, and I'm here to ruin your fucking franchise. And all I ask for is 10% of the entire place, and to tell Luka Doncic to fuck off. All right, Sean, you got way into this. Why don't you run us through exactly what happened? Beat by beat.
Here we go. Okay, so
hold on. I mentioned Bill Simmons twice.
We have to.
I believe in the 4-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food.
All right.
Yes.
Now go ahead.
This is a story about professional gambler, Canadian real estate heir, Bill Simmons, BFF, and cryptocurrency enthusiast.
They want to know what I believe.
Haralabob's Bob Vulgaris. I became aware of him because of the Bill Simmons podcast. Interesting Twitter follow. It, as in, like, a lot of Twitter people, he was, like, very snarky about basketball.
He would be like, let me tell you something, Bill. Doc Rivers is the dumbest piece of shit I've ever seen in my life.
Or things like, Klay Thompson's a dime a dozen. You need to lock in a guy like Kevin Love forever.
And then Bill Simmons would be like, here's what I'll tell you. I'm going to tell Mike Love play basketball. Klay Thompson? Go ahead.
Yep. Okay, so he had been... Okay, all this information about him being a successful gambler just comes from him. So
that's another thing. A friend of ours, who I think probably wouldn't want us to name him because he's a weirdo.
Yes. Right.
is weirdly on like message boards and shit, and like is like sort of knows like big time gamblers. And
yes.
Anytime Haralabob would come up, they would say, I don't know who the fuck this guy is. He is lying about how much he gambled.
There are stories about him betting $1 million on games and how he did very well following the tendencies of coaches. Now,
used to claim that he made a lot of money because he could tell... what's his face? Scott Foster's friend...
Tim Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy was fixing games based on looking at stats.
Yeah. Now the thing that I find believable is that he claims he would bet second half overs a lot because there wasn't that much of a volume on NBA gambling in terms of point spreads by half, and they would occasionally just cut the over under total in half, mm-hmm. and he would bet the second half because it had more. Now that's somewhat believable to me. There's no reason to trust any of it that he made millions of dollars, like, because his father is very rich. Mm-hmm. Like, he would just be very rich
anyway,
doing nothing. Yeah.
And
he bought a lot of courtside seats and stuff, and he talked about being a gambler and said he had a proprietary gambling system. But again, this is all self-reported. And again, mm-hmm. maybe he's an incredibly great sports genius.
And here's
gambler.
The other thing about him.
Uh-huh.
I would say Haralabob has a very 2005 vibe to him. Like, there's like sort of a pickup artist thing going on and mm-hmm. sort of mm-hmm. an online poker player.
Yeah. Now, I do believe that he was a successful poker player. Like, that makes sense to me, that he's like played in the World Series of Poker. Like,
why is it because he got Donnie Nelson and Rick Carlisle to quit their jobs?
Well, don't jump ahead. Don't jump ahead. But that's more realistic to me than he had some crazy sports gambling system, because most sports gambling systems end with like the end of Uncut Gems, basically.
Another thing I want to point
out. Uh-huh.
Tweeted out the weird my entire life. Do you remember this?
No, not at all. I mean, he may have blocked me by then. He did block me.
It's a YouTube channel where a man takes Jordan Peterson clips and Joe Rogan clips and puts them to chill wave music. Do you remember this?
I kind of don't, but I completely, but like, those are, I mean, that's like the Mount Rushmore of his thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's like crypto, gambling, mm-hmm. Rogan, like, Vegas is cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's, okay, so, crawled up, now, he did block me on Twitter because he, posted something about, sometimes when you're trying to buy courtside seats, they didn't let you know that sometimes your courtside seats were mm-hmm. too far down and close to the basket. Sure. And I quote tweeted him and said, "The Dallas Mavericks, ladies and gentlemen," and then he blocked me after mm-hmm. that. So
yeah,
that's
that sounds right.
I mean, it's a fair block. I mean, it wasn't that bad, but
no,
I mean,
no,
why not? I mean, I might block me for that too. Okay. So, 2013 shifts away from, gambling, gets more into self-promotion, starts going on podcasts, starts mm-hmm. tweeting about basketball, starts buying good tickets to see the games. Because of this, and because of his like immense bro energy, mm-hmm. Mark Cuban hired him as the director of quantitative research and development in 2018. And according...
Wait, hold on. Keep going.
And now he is possibly the shadow GM of the Dallas Mavericks.
I have this Jordan Peterson song real quick here.
Hopefully. Please.
She wants to grow up and have kids and have a life. She accepts her mortality. She accepts her maturity. Peter Pan has to content himself with Tinkerbell. She doesn't even exist. She's like the fairy of porn. She doesn't exist.
Anyway, Haralabob tweeted that out one time.
I'm gonna listen to the. Oh my god! All
it's
right,
called
well.
Jordan Peterson Sacrifice. genre the man calls it is a meaning wave.
It's amazing that this guy has millions of adherents, based on like misunderstanding children's stories, like ones that children understand, and he's like, no, Tinkerbell represents online pornography, and you're like, are you talking about you, dude? And he's like, no, this is all men. All men want to fuck a fairy. That's what you want
to
do.
Anyway, back to Haralabob.
Okay, so here's why he is a fascinating figure. I would talk about him for hours. But what happened this week is Monday, Tim Cato of The Athletic, Mavs writer.
Very good reporter. I love Tim Cato.
Tim Cato's right.
The
Tim
Mavs
Cato?
Have some of my favorite beat writers. Tim Cato.
Oh, yeah.
Band McMahon.
I can't believe I've never been to Texas. When I hear
Mike Pelucci.
Pelucci. Good luck in your new job, Pelucci.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Okay. So Tim Cato of The Athletic published a story about how Haralabob has essentially approved and recommended all of the transactions since he was hired, and that includes giving Coach Rick Carlisle starting lineups and rotations, which is interesting because one of the criticisms of Rick Carlisle in the last couple of years is that his rotations are too inflexible,
mm-hmm.
and that he doesn't work guys into the lineup. Here are some tidbits from the article. At the draft, much of the scouting department was on Zoom. Haralabob was present in person. He ignored the scouting department to draft Josh Green mm-hmm. and Tyrell Terry from Stanford.
You know who they wanted to take, the scouting department?
Sadiq Bey.
Sadiq Bey.
Who would have been...
really helped them.
He would have been great. Those guys played... Josh Green played 39 of the 72 games. I think he averaged 11 minutes in those games. And Tyrell Terry played 56 minutes total that season. Would a single useful player have been helpful? Maybe. I don't know. So apparently he, according to this article, he supported and approved all transactions. That includes the Porzingis trade, the Josh Richardson trade, and the J.J. Redick trade. Mm-hmm. People essentially thought that the Mavs had two general managers, Haralabob and Don, with two N's, Nelson, the straighted son of
Donnie Nelson.
The greatest American in history?
Yep.
Don Nelson?
Mm-hmm. The godfather of this podcast.
Yes. And I would say our friend Henry Abbott said that in his mind, the Mavs actually had three GMs from his reporting is that they also had Mark Cuban mm-hmm. Being involved in everything. Henry, I agree.
Well, hold on. Yeah. When he wasn't doing this or getting extra plastic surgery.
Yes. Yes.
When he wasn't getting his fillers in his forehead.
Yeah. He still looks pretty young, right, Joey?
Oh, yeah.
It looks cool that he's 6 years old.
He looks like sort of like an overinflated balloon at all.
No, it's cool. It's cool and young looking, Joey. It's hip. Yeah. It helps him relate to the players. That's why they get so many free
agents. Who doesn't love a man in his... Well, hold on. Actually, I'm going to ask you a question, Sean.
Yes.
Because Mark Cuban falls in this genre of people.
Yes. Okay.
Is there some rule that if you're a man in your 50s on a reality show, you have to wear a really tight black t-shirt all the time? Because he does it.
Yeah.
And it's ill-fitting. He does it. Gordon Ramsay does it. Simon Cowell does it. Gervais does it.
Yeah. Was Simon Cowell the pioneer? Louis C.K. does it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not on a reality show. His life is a reality show. You know what I mean? Like, Louis, that's pretty much his life. It is a weird thing because I've heard that like fashion people do it, but when a man like in his 50s does it, it's always like, I'm worried I'm fat. Like, I think Mark Cuban actually thinks that people are like, oh, there's no way that guy's 62.
Oh, see, I think he wears it. I think he you could bounce
Look
a quarter
at his
off that
black
face.
Hair. That's a normal color for a 62-year-old man. Look, he's in great shape.
More importantly, though, what has Haralabob done, Sean? There's a really important thing he's fucking up here.
Yeah. Okay, so I do want to say that one thing about Mark Cuban is his, like, pretending he wasn't involved when it came to all these scandals is absolutely bullshit because he can't let anything pass without inserting himself in it. So, like, yeah, there was a guy who was, like, jacking off in front of female employees. Like, he didn't know about that? Like, come on now.
Yeah.
Okay. Just tolerate. Definitely sexual. He's definitely sexual malfeasance tolerant.
Well, and then don't forget about his own.
Oh, yeah. He used Kevin Love as an alibi for a sexual assault charge in Portland.
And you know what Bill Simmons said? I'll be telling my grandkids about Kevin Love. About how he covered for Mark. All right.
Bill Simmons this week also said that the problems in the Mavericks ownership were overblown. So, okay. So the other thing that Haralabob did, probably the most important thing, is that he pissed off Luka Doncic.
Yeah, great.
So Haralambop apparently sits with an open laptop at every Mavs game directly across from the bench. I mean, like what a terror. Like, you're in a courtside seat. It makes me so bad.
Like, sitting next to Jerry Jones, and he's like, hey, could you plug this in for me?
Yeah, you know, I got a source. Hey, by the way, I got a horse that I like. Have you heard of Vivian? Have you heard of Dogecoin?
Excuse me, Jerry Jones
just punches him.
Excuse me, Kate Upton and Justin Verlander. Why am I doing Bill Simmons?
Hey, it's me, Haralambop. Another Dallas. Oh, Tony Romo, you came to the game. That's great. Do you happen to have a flash drive on you?
You know what voice you were sort of doing there?
What was that?
You sounded sort of like Carson, and Haralambop Vulgaris would absolutely...
Yeah, Haralambop Vulgaris. Like, and then okay. Kreskin. So during that game, when
Did
he's sitting with a laptop...
Kreskin?
Yeah, it's a Kreskin thing. You go, Haralambop Vulgaris, and then you're like, what is that? It's all Greek to me.
Yeah.
All right. I don't even know. I can't improvise a Kreskin. Okay. Not Kreskin, Karnak. Jesus. Okay. Okay.
Anyway, so, Luka Doncic was pissed.
Luka Doncic. He's sitting with his laptop.
Which I would be pissed if I was playing a basketball game. Oh. If I was like, look, Luka Doncic is basically a child prodigy at this point, right? Like.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a. I mean, he essentially did the basketball version of going to medical school at 13.
Right. He's like, I'm sure fucking Beethoven would be pissed if he looked over and you were while writing a symphony and this fucking pickup artist nerd was on a laptop.
Yeah, a laptop is like, I've been analyzing the number of arpeggios. G major, yeah. So he motioned to Luka to calm down with his hands, like he did, like he lowered the roof basically with his hands, and Luka was so mad. And then at a Knicks game this year, there was about a minute left, and the Mavs were down 10, and Haralambop got up and left, and it was very obvious because he had to close his laptop, which had been open all game, and Luka saw it and was like furious. And after that, Haralambop did not attend another game that year. Mm-hmm. And also, according to another Dallas basketball writing legend, mm-hmm. Tim Band McMahon, Luka yelled at Rick Carlisle in the middle of a game once, "Who's in charge? You or Bob?"
Boy,
yeah. Okay, so that
article, this comes out.
This comes out on Monday, and our man bro investor and sexual harassment supporter, Mark Cuban, quote tweeted the article and added, "Total bullshit."
Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, but then what happened?
Well, on Tuesday, Bill Simmons said that the problems in the Mavericks front office were actually really overblown. Mm-hmm. And then on Wednesday...
I don't know. Ryan, I just think it's a... I just think it's really overblown. I mean, Luka's perfect. Haralambop is perfect.
Sure.
I believe in the 4-point line.
I believe in the 4-point line. Soup sure. is the perfect food.
Sure, sure. I mean, I'm no supporter of sexual harassment, but I'm at the gym with my guys recently, and this guy's air drying his balls. He turned around, it's Haralambop Vulgaris. And I said, hey man, are you really pissing off Luka Doncic with that? And he said no. And I believe it. And that's why I vote for tax reasons.
That's
my Ryan Russillo impression.
Almost
Thank you.
Nate Duncan.
Thank
you fell into Nate Duncan. They
went into
bit.
Nate Duncan, unfortunately. There's something about that alpha energy. I'm like, I'm gonna go more alpha all the way to Duncan. Okay. Since then, on Wednesday, Don Nelson, the longtime GM, and the team mutually agreed to part ways.
And now, again, son of the greatest man alive.
Son of the greatest man alive. Now, one important thing to know about this is his father was in litigation with Mark Cuban for years. That did not affect his employment one bit. But,
and you know why?
This,
because
like,
his dad is so cool.
Yeah.
He was like, you should keep that job, son.
Yeah, keep that job, buddy. I don't care. This is between me and Mark. And yet, this cryptocurrency magician, and I mean magician in the most pejorative sense possible. Mm-hmm. Every negative thing you're thinking about a magician, I'm saying right now. Mm-hmm. So he and the team mutually agreed to part ways. And today, Coach Rick Carlisle resigned after 13 years with mm-hmm. the team. I got to say, Joey, might not have been total bullshit.
I'm going to say it was probably really true.
Probably well-sourced.
Don't forget, Luka Doncic also had a press conference in Slovenia where he was complaining about Donnie Nelson quitting.
Uh-huh. He didn't like it.
He's been friends with him since he was 12 years old or something.
Yeah, because one thing that okay, so it's very easy to critique a GM based on like his signings and his trades, and those are important. But also there's a big part of the job that is just managing relationships. And another big part of the job is just your personal context. Mm-hmm. Like Don Nelson has been scouting in Europe since 1987.
He was like the first guy.
Like before the fall of communism, yeah. He was there scouting Lithuanian players. Like I just think he has access.
He coached the famous Grateful Dead team.
Oh yeah, he coached that team in 92. So those people have all been alienated, and a sentient pickup artist, like a mm-hmm. can of Axe body spray with a really nice Excel program mm-hmm. appears to be in charge of the organization. By the way, Haralabos added head collector to his Twitter bio this week too. One thing I want to mention.
What would Jordan Peterson say about him adding head collector to his Twitter bio?
That's a good point. Head collector. It's reminiscent of Jack and the Beanstalk, where he cuts off the giant's head after he falls down the beanstalk. And the beanstalk, of course, is Jack's anxiety with his new erections and the heart.
All right, keep going. What else happened to Mark Cuban, though? Something very funny happened.
Something very funny
day.
Because, okay, so Haralabos used to tweet about basketball. Since he's employed with the Mavs, it is basically stuff about his dog and then tweets about cryptocurrency, which apparently isn't a conflict because the Mavs accept cryptocurrency for everything now. And Mark Cuban is basically financially supporting. I tried to check this out with our friends at the Fake Money podcast. They knew a little bit about it.
They didn't know what we were talking about.
They didn't really know what I was talking about.
Like, Sean, you're in too deep. Pull out.
I somehow got deeper into it than our friends who do a cryptocurrency podcast. So essentially, there is a altcoin. So, like, you've got your Bitcoin, and then you have your alternative coins, which are you can still mine them in the same way. They're still essentially just a series of math equations that are solved at a what they do is it's a store of value that a computer solves a lot of math problems and destroys the ozone layer. I believe that's how it works. The value comes from every day you hasten the heat death of the earth, it adds in value. This coin called Titan was basically financially supported
by Mark Cuban. Yeah.
And I don't totally understand what the idea of a peg is, but basically it is an alt currency that was tied to another alt currency. And when investors started bailing on this coin called Titan, because there was another coin that was pegged to it, there became an instant arbitrage opportunity where you could essentially just sell this Titan coin and get more of another coin. Mm-hmm. And it plummeted from being worth $60 to being worth like 0.1 of a cent.
Yeah.
Like an incredible loss. Like, now you don't know how much he had invested in it, but clearly it was a bad week for Mark Cuban. Mm-hmm. I also learned this. This is not necessarily relevant to what had happened, but I was looking into Mark Cuban's biggest Shark Tank investments, and the biggest thing he invested in I don't know why I'm laughing so much about this, but I just find it so funny. He invested $2 million. Oh, no, no, it's not. Hold on. Let me find this real quickly. It was a Shark Tank. The Haunted Hayride company.
I've seen that episode. It's a really good episode of a Shark Tank.
Yeah. And so, okay. So it's called 1031 Productions. And they launched the Haunted Hayride in Los Angeles. And Mark Cuban invested $2 million, which I think is the most he's ever invested on the show. They were very successful at first until they made a haunted hayride in New York where a smoke machine fell on a patron and gave her debilitating injuries, and they lost a massive lawsuit, which happened in 1031 being purchased.
I can't believe Mark Cuban was invested in something that injured a woman.
And was dangerous and money losing. The thing about Mark Cuban being known as a really good investor is that he has like about $1.5 billion less than he did back in 1999 when he sold his company. Like his net worth is like $1.5 million less than the sale price of his bullshit fake internet radio company in the late 90s. Now, maybe some of that was due to losses from Yahoo stock, but this is not a guy who is like succeeding in his investments despite 2 decades of pretending he's good at it. Like, I mean, I know I use Ice Rocket as my search engine all the time, right, Joey?
Cyberdust is how Cyberdust. I send all my dick pics.
Yeah, they disappear right away. And a lot of these companies, you're like, wait, why did you invest so heavily in like a web image searching thing that doesn't track you at all? Yeah, why like anyway, it's all things that have nefarious behavior, like, oh, the haunted hayride. Yeah, you could like get drunk with a woman there, right? And he's like $2 million.
Anyway, what's the name of the search form he hired to find the new head of basketball ops?
It involves Sportsology. I think it's just called Sportsology.
It's just called Sportsology.
And they're gonna find him a new president of basketball operations and now a new coach.
Sean, question for you: how do we start one of these fake firms?
Oh my
that
god!
That hire coaches, quote unquote, hire coaches.
I mean, I think.
And
I
what
think
should we just, call it?
Why don't we just meet Warren Legarry at Summer League and like buy him a beer? That
but
seems
I mean,
to be.
I think we can do it. Bootstrap it on our own. You know.
Oh, just. Well, you know, I do live close to
Silicon
the weird
Valley.
Training. Well, no, I was going to say the weird training facility where the G League team trains. I mean, the what is it called? The Elite Team?
Ignite. Yeah.
Yeah, Ignite plays like. Well, I mean, in theory, we'll play like 10 minutes from where I live right now. And the great thing about the Sportsology firm is that there was an article about them in The Ringer about 2 months ago, and the whole lead is about how Vivek used them, and like that's the selling point, that he went to this guy named Mike Ford. No, this is last year.
Oh,
and
good.
That,
okay, so this,
and that
this
they decided they were going to fire an assistant coach. But, like, that's the selling point that you convinced Vivek to hire a GM? Like, that could be a con artist.
Well, speaking of Vivek, do you know what Rick Carlisle did this week?
No, what did it do?
Do you know that Luke Walton, also speaking of another bad man, is now the 10th longest tenured coach in the NBA.
Well, he is the second most successful coach winning percentage-wise in Sacramento Kings history, too. It's also not even that close. I'll tell you. I thought he'd be scrambling. Nope. Rick Adelman way ahead of him. He's comfortably in second place.
So our friend John Wilms.
Yes.
Sean. Called Mark Cuban willing to risk the entire franchise he's built here to hang out with his crypto bro.
Yeah, I think he said specifically on the excellent Turtle Pond Hangout podcast by our friend Corbin.
He said it was incredible dudes rock energy.
Dudes rock energy, which appears to be the case. It's like he likes hanging out with this dude who tells him about crypto and like tells him about girls he's dating and like has a computer that like kind of validates things that Cuban already wanted to hear. And he thinks this guy is so cool that he's destroying his own organization.
So what because, I want to do here real quick is I want to form a search firm for Mark Cuban here real quick called Dudes Rockology.
Dudes Rockology. Okay, Dudes Rock. Yeah.
Let's come up with a couple of people the Mavs should hire.
Okay.
Why don't you go first?
My first thought is Logan Paul.
Oh, excellent.
The prize fighter, prankster. Mm-hmm. He's young. I'm sure he has some investment in crypto, knows how to talk to people, knows how to get things done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's a fighter. You want a fighter in your front office.
Mm-hmm. I think he should hire a poster of Heath Ledger's The Joker.
Ooh, that would be good. That would inspire a lot of respect. The young guys will be into that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm thinking of John Michael Caruso, the Crypto King. You might know him as the KRYP plus sign 0 K capital K exclamation point NG. Mm-hmm. He was like the king of Scottsdale for a while, and then it turned out he was stealing lots and lots of money. There is a great article on the Phoenix New Times about his fall, and there is a much funnier article from Cigar Aficionado magazine from about 6 months earlier before all the federal indictments and when he was incarcerated that was like, this guy's so cool. He's got these bodyguards. He's got so much crypto on this flash drive. It is really good. It's I will say it's the best piece of investigative journalism I've ever read from Cigar Aficionado magazine.
I think he should hire the beach bum.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Not Matthew McConaughey, even though he is in Texas. Uh-huh. I think it should be Matthew McConaughey in full beach bum character running the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, the it's a Harmony Korine movie,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I've definitely seen it.
Moondog.
Yeah, no.
Where he plays Moondog. Yeah.
He plays Moondog. We all know him. You love him.
The beach bum.
Moondog, the Beach Boy.
Yeah.
Here's my next suggestion. Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge. Some guys will mortgage the future to put a winner around him. Nope. Danny Ainge won't trade anybody unless a family member dies. or becomes terminally ill, let's be fair. Or they suffer a debilitating injury.
Mm-hmm. Sure. My next, I would propose the Chainsmokers.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Right. Hey. Right?
Sure.
Hey. I'm gonna make another Dallas-based suggestion. Mm-hmm. The Butthole Surfers.
Sure.
They're familiar with a dispute with a boss that won't pay them the money they're owed.
I think they're a little too smart for Cuban. And
they're a little too brutal.
Too weird, a little too smart for Cuban and Haralabob.
He's like, yeah, we're all in love with dying in this organization. Like,
and then finally, of course, the dude's rockin'est man of all. He just moved to Austin. Joe Rogan.
Oh, that's the correct choice. Joe Rogan. President of basketball operations, ever on the team, starts doing DMT and getting testosterone replacement therapy. We'll make it legal in the CBA. And every time, the key is when they start complaining to the ref about calls, they just have to be like, I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions here. And then, like, there's
he's
a lot
gonna
of
gonna have to things. Lose three courtside seats, though, so you can put the deprivation tank next to where Haralabob sits with his laptop.
Right. And also, you're going to have to legalize vaping in the crowd, right?
Uh-huh, yep.
And no sales tax on purchases in the American Airlines Center because taxation's fucking theft, bro.
Also, Elon Musk. All right, let's keep going. He's like memes rock, though, actually.
Oh, yeah. Elon is like too weird for Mark. He would also hate Mark Cuban.
Yeah. Let's do some more turmoil before we get to the injuries.
Yeah.
All right, Scotty Brooks got fired, Sean.
Yeah. Now, technically, this is, as George Carl would say, technically not a firing because his contract was up and they mutually agreed to part ways. My guess is tried to get Scotty Brooks to take a little bit of a pay cut or maybe a 2-year deal. That's my guess. Because they didn't get rid of him right away. So there was like some negotiation.
I think this kind of sucks. Like, I mean, sure, you're allowed to fire Scotty Brooks. He's like most fireable coach in the league. You know, he's like, you know, when analytics guys always talk about replacement players and their value, like there's always some like, you know, like in baseball, it would be value over replacement players. Scotty Brooks is like replacement coach. He's like net zero, right?
I'm going to say he's a little bit better than that.
Sure. But I just mean.
Yes.
My reaction was, yeah, fire Scotty Brooks. Sure. But like they made the playoffs. Why are you doing
well,
this?
Well, like, what are you doing exactly? So I'm. Yeah, right. Like, well, the thing is, like, they made the playoffs. They were. I would say going into the season, I thought they were going to be the 8 seed. And it took a weird route to get there.
Mm-hmm. But they were the 8 seed, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and part of it was Russell Westbrook was really hurt at the beginning of the season. And look, I am not by any means a Russell Westbrook fan, but in the Eastern Conference, like, there's different goals. Like, Russell Westbrook is not going to win you a championship. Mm-hmm. But Russell Westbrook is probably going to make you a playoff team.
Yeah.
So, and Scotty Brooks is also like, yeah, like that's a guy who's coaching you the 8 seed. Yeah. You know what I mean? And we've talked about this before where it's kind of not clear what the future building blocks of the Wizards are.
Right.
You know, it's like it could be Denny or Rui. But it's also...
But those guys are both named Denny and Rui, so I wouldn't put...
Yeah, you're already like... even like saying it made me kind of like, I don't know. What are we really? So
Denny and Rui sounds like the worst like folk band that Bob Dylan played with in Greenwich Village in 1965.
Yes. And actually, I will also say it sounds like a terrible Russian cartoon on Netflix that basically doesn't have dialogue in it because they would have to translate it, and that like a 4-year-old I babysat got obsessed with. And like Denny's a wolf and Rui's like a cat. You know, like it's...
Anyway.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I had one question.
Sure.
I don't know what they want. I don't know if they like. Does this mean they aren't going to try for the playoffs? Because
no,
it's like
they're going to keep trying for the.
I mean, I think so. So I mean, what they should do, I think, is just get some
Sam
bets
Cassell?
For 2 years. Well, hire Sam Cassell. Yeah, hire Sam Cassell. Buy out Jerry Stackhouse. I mean, Sam Cassell seems like he's definitely going to be a good coach. Like,
and he coached there for a long time already. Like, just hire Sam Cassell.
I forgot he was an assistant there.
Yeah.
Just hire Sam Cassell tomorrow. Like, my way around.
What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Him and Russell Westbrook screaming at each other would be the best. Oh, I mean, at a ref together would be the best thing in the world.
Yeah. Russ is a good teammate, man. He's like... Again, as someone who's not even a fan, I think he gets a little too much shit.
Anyway,
I kind of want them to hire
Ian MacKay.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, I knew it.
Here's my question: would the Wizards leave the court if an opposing player started a fight like Fugazi did?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they would have to charge $8 for tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd agree with the cost of living increase.
I would say here's the problem with hiring Ian MacKay, though, is Brad Stevens really flamed out in Boston, you know? And last coach that didn't fuck.
That's true. So. That's true. He doesn't fuck. All right, let's move on.
Stan Van Gundy fired after 1 year, Sean.
Wow. I mean, not a surprise, but kind of like... kind of a surprise.
Definitely a surprise. Like, what? They just hired him. What are they doing?
They just hired him. Like, he didn't. The thing is, because the season is so compressed, like, he was only the coach for, like, 8 months.
Yeah.
At this point, right?
That's three coaches in 3 years for Zion. It's already not coming great. Out that Zion's family has told the Pelicans he's not even going to sign the rookie extension.
Well, did they say that, like, last year even? Well, so apparently, the report today was that there were multiple members of Zion Williamson's family that they're going to have him, they're going to convince him to even sign the max rookie deal. So we're going to get, now, as far as I can think of, there's only one lottery pick who's just taken the qualifying offer to become a free agent, right?
Greg Monroe, the Moose.
Greg Monroe, yeah. The legend. again, I also like Greg Monroe, but what a weird standard bearer for this thing. Mm-hmm. The league changed on him.
Well,
you know?
No, KCP also just took the qualifying offer. That's how that's he ended right. up in LA.
Yeah. Wow, it just, and again, that also was related to Stan Van Gundy, mm-hmm. yep. right? Was he there?
I believe so, yeah.
Jesus Christ. He doesn't, can I say one thing about Stan Van Gundy? Mm-hmm. You don't want your coach to start tweeting too much.
No.
I want a coach with, like, no social media presence at all. Like, right. just...
Like Rick what Carlisle. Is the game? Yeah, I was yeah, surprised exactly. Rick Carlisle even knew how to type on a notes app, which he is how he resigned right. today.
Well, and even the one that Woj posted was, like, a screenshot that also included... all the letters, all
yeah,
the like
think
the keyboard.
That's an email. Do you think Rick Carlisle sent Woj an email and he put it in the notes app?
I don't know. I mean, like the cropping was like, why wouldn't you just crop it to the notes part?
I don't know.
It was very weird. Like even Woj, you would think would anyway. Those are two older men. Let's just say that again, just like John Stockton, older men. Maybe don't know what's going on.
Rick Carlisle definitely believes in being vaxxed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He would have been like vaccinating his own players if he could, mm-hmm. if that was legal.
Yeah.
Here's my suggestion for the Pelicans. Trajan Langdon, kind of a loser, at least as a player. I mean, I know he was a really good player in Europe, but at Duke, his most famous memory was losing the ball mm-hmm. at the end of
the Alaskan
the national
assassin.
Championship. The Alaskan assassin.
Yeah.
and then he also just seemed to only acquire Duke players for a full year.
Well, look, that's a good idea, though, because the Grizzlies also did that and went on a magical run to the had a Duke GM acquire just basically Duke players.
Well, how many Duke guys do they have? I mean, they have Grayson Allen.
They have Grayson Allen. They have Justice Winslow. They have...
Right. So one guy who didn't play at all.
Their
one guy
coach
who
is a
their
Duke
worst
guy.
Player. yeah, and it was just like, oh, he wasn't inspired by his good friend Jahlil Okafor coming mm-hmm. and cranky pants J.J. Redick just complaining for an entire season. Like you can only have so much Duke energy at once mm-hmm. because one foul Duke guy, it spreads, and then you end up with Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Just a fetid pool of Duke. Here's my question. Will Zion get a Diet Pepsi endorsement?
I'm going to guess no.
Also, I have to say, there was a big deal about how much stuff they got.
Tyus Jones, also
holiday.
A Duke guy.
Oh, Tyus Jones. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. All right, keep going.
Killian
Tilly, basically a Duke guy. It's Gonzaga, but,
and,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Gonzaga of the Northwest, yeah. yeah the Duke of the Northwest. You're right. Few has extreme Coach K energy.
Really
oh, my
does.
God.
They both seem real vampiric.
Just like breaking blood vessels in their cheeks all the time, just screaming at ref. Mark Few just isn't as good at it.
All right, Sean, question for you.
Yes.
So Zion wants out.
Yes.
Josh Hart wants out.
Yes.
Lonzo wants out.
Yes.
Can a team built around Jackson Hayes compete for a title?
I mean, I, they better, right? He's the only one who's happy there. and you know, they'll have Steven Adams for like four more years now, right?
Yeah, and then Eric Bledsoe for two.
And that Jrue Holiday trade looked a lot better when you didn't think about how long Eric Bledsoe is signed for.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a negative first round pick just in himself.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you do with him. He hates it there.
Like, Does he like being anywhere, though?
No, he
doesn't want to be anywhere.
I think he kind of liked Milwaukee, except not like he wasn't really into the playoffs.
I think he probably wants to play for the Clippers again. Honestly, trade Pat Bev for Eric Bledsoe. Just like,
oh yeah, that would be great.
Just like, perfect. Switch. All right, Sean.
Yeah.
It's time to talk some injuries.
Oh yeah, we do.
Injuries. You hate to see them.
Certainly not the sight the Celtics and their fans want to see. Paul Pierce in a lot of pain, had to be carried off, then they put him in the wheelchair as he's going back to the locker room.
They are easily the worst part of basketball.
This is the sight that the Celtics fans want to see. And hear the ovation as he comes hopping out of the tunnel.
Except for when they're not injuries at all. And they're Paul Pierce shitting his pants.
Standing back there at the locker room when Paul Pierce came out was a pretty dramatic moment. He was followed out of the hallway by Danny Ainge.
Anyway, here are some real injuries. And not ones where a guy pooped his pants.
Sort of forgot we had that drop, Joey.
It's a long one. Sean, Kawhi Leonard has an injured knee.
Yes.
Also, Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell are questionable.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell has an injured ankle. I believe
I did want to talk about it was very funny in the midst of all this crazy batshit stuff happening.
So many things happened. Somebody tweeted
Mike Conley will meet with the media in minutes. And then Woj beat him to his own press conference and was just like, Mike Conley is out.
It's so funny that, okay, I was trying to explain what Woj does to my dad today, because he was excited to watch Woj explain what was happening in Dallas on SportsCenter. And I'm like, no, he's tweeted it out. He's not going to wait till he's on TV. And he's like, why would he do that? He's paid to be on TV. And I'm like, I know.
Actually, but he tweeted it out. He's a tweet.
And he's like, but how do they make money from the tweets? I'm like, they don't. They don't make anything from it. If anything, they kind of lose money on it because they're paying a guy to tweet. And he was like, so why would anyone watch SportsCenter? I'm like, maybe they don't. Twitter? I mean, they probably just aren't.
They don't watch SportsCenter.
They fell asleep during the game. Like, it's so confusing. But also, he's clearly like trading a favor with Mike Conley's agent to get the scoop on this too. That's gonna be, I don't know. Anyway, amazing. Okay, so our injury roundup: Joel Embiid playing with a torn meniscus, mm-hmm. James Harden playing with a torn hamstring, Kyrie Irving out.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hunter is hurt mm-hmm. on the Hawks. Kim Reddish seems like he hasn't played in months. I don't think mm-hmm. that's new. Dante DiVincenzo, hurts.
He would fix everything for the Bucks.
He actually would really help them right now. But also, it's insane they haven't closed out this series already. In the West, no one on the
Kyrie,
Suns.
You didn't say Kyrie was hurt.
Oh, Kyrie's hurt too. He sprained his ankle in game four. The Jazz have Conley hurt.
Mitchell
hurt. And then the Clippers, Serge Ibaka is already out for the year with back surgery. And Kawhi has a knee injury that people are saying is a torn ACL, but doesn't seem to be a torn ACL. They would just like I asked an actual doctor who was a Clippers fan, and he said, there's no way it would take this long to diagnose a torn ACL. So there's like,
so does
there's no reason to pretend he's like, they would just say if he had a torn ACL like right. that. So he has a sprained knee, which means something is torn and it might be one of those ligaments. But anyway, yeah, so that's all those are our injuries.
Well,
plus, oh yeah,
so this all happened, and then the biggest fucking dork in the world decided to chime in.
That is true. He is a giant dork.
LeBron James, classic bullshit.
Eliminated from the playoffs 2 weeks ago.
People weren't looking at him for 5 minutes, and then decided to tweet an insane 5-tweet thread. Should I read it?
Please.
They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the, all caps, product and benefit of, all caps, our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game, all caps. It's the lack of pure, all caps, rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9, all caps, all-stars have missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our fave players, it's insane. If there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me, all caps. I speak for the health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of the year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your fave guys right now. Praying hands emoji. King emoji. Then tweeted...
Oh, he's not done.
Okay. No. It did not thread these two tweets, though. Then there was one and said, and I know all about the business side, too, /factors, so don't even try me. I get it. That's why I broke that Wildcat strike last year. And then another one where praying hands emoji to the hand emoji claw. And look, does LeBron have a point here about that maybe the way the season has gone is injuring some guys? Absolutely. Was there a person who could have done something about that named LeBron James, the most powerful man in the NBA? Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, he insisted that they play in the bubble.
Yeah,
he did. Like, that's something
he called
he did.
In Obama to end the strike.
Mm-hmm. That's what he did. He was an executive in the NBA Players Association. Like a year ago, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Like and his best friend, who
Chris
is
Paul.
Vaccinated and has COVID, which we forgot to mention.
Do we know that he's vaccinated? We've heard that he probably has vaccinated.
Somebody told me he's double-fized.
I also heard that, but you know what?
Sure. I believe Chris Paul is vaccinated. Anyway, those
By
guys
the way, the Players Association site is, like, unnavigable.
Yeah, of course. but this sucks. Yes, the league has all the power here, but also there is a person with more power than the second most powerful person in the NBA is LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like, revisionist bullshit.
Yes. He's worried that people aren't paying enough attention to him right now. He's jumping on this.
Space Jam 2 is coming out.
Uh-huh.
And
he's got to keep himself. Also, calling himself the king all the time is just obnoxious. I'm sorry. Like, I know it's his nickname, but like, the king has spoken. There's nobody but me who knows more about his body because I've missed 2 of the last 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. I've missed 3 months every time. And I take the most advanced steroids and HGH to keep yourself maintained. There's nobody else who has a van shuttling them to practice like a Tour de France rider. Me and Lance Armstrong. That's it. We need a van to get our supplements and our vaguely illegal European medicines. That's what I know about the body.
Also, if you want to read about these injuries, again, please read Katie Heindel's great series on it at UpRocks. And do not read the Bowtied Man one at ESPN. That is, you know.
Katie is the inventor of shorts the clothing and not a wearer of bow ties the douchebag costume.
Yeah, or the, and she does not care about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
No, no, she's a normal person.
All right.
Yeah, so that's, here's another thing about LeBron James. Why is he hating on people who do their own laundry? Does he think that's like a, like an appealing thing?
There are so
many. He's like,
things.
Imagine if I didn't drink Mountain Dew, I might have to fold my own clothes. And he's like, no, never working out Mountain Dew.
There are so many things in this tweet thread that are like Mr. Show character quotes.
Well, all the caps don't make any sense either. The words he's emphasizing, it's like, it doesn't make any sense.
The quote, if there's one person that knows about the body and how it works all year round, it's me, is worse than anything Magic Johnson has ever tweeted. And he's constantly getting roasted for his tweets.
Right. No, it's like something that guy who makes tofutti would say. But also, it's also something that like Ray Allen would say in a DM. Like, there's only one person who knows how the body works all year long. You know what I mean? I know about the business side too, so don't even try me. Like...
Yeah, we know.
Well, we know, but you guys agreed.
But you did it. You could have stopped this. You're the one. You are the one that actually could have made it move to December.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Also, what is pure rim rest?
I don't know.
Also, is this the most All-Stars that have missed playoff game in league history? I don't know if that's true. Didn't like three-quarters of the Lakers All-Stars miss the finals one year against the Pistons?
I don't know, man.
This guy
saw a bunch of fucking news, NBA news that day and was like, I gotta get in on this. Right?
Uh-huh. I don't really understand this tweet. Like, okay, so he said, greatness. Appreciate while you can, people. Hashtag KD. That makes a lot of sense to me. 17 out of 18 for the kid from all caps Akron. Mm-hmm. Hashtag truly blessed. Hashtag SFG rocket ship.
We can't.
What is he talking about?
We can't get into LeBron's tweets.
Then. Okay, I'm sorry.
We're at 90 minutes. We got to talk about Chris Paul having COVID. And all I want to say is Chris Paul would not have COVID if Jake from State Farm wasn't always maskless at his house.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And also, obviously COVID came from a wild animal. What NBA player has had more wild animals invading his house? Skunks. That's where that variant came from.
A literal deer destroyed his garage last year.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing weird experiments there with a robotic Cole Perez and... I don't even want to get into it, the cloning that's going on there. But yeah, that's
also,
why.
Also, listener, we are going to get to your call about that question.
We have some experts consulting. Yes.
I just want you to know. All right, Sean, that's our episode. We're at
it 90
is our minutes.
Episode. All right, yeah. Okay.
Sean.
Yes. Thank you very much, Joey. I do have something to plug. I am going to be at the Punchline in Sacramento, California from July 8th to July 10th with friend of the program, Chris Garcia.
Ooh, fun.
That's five shows. And then I spoke
at his wedding.
You did speak at his wedding. Yeah. And then the next week, I will be at the Punchline on July 13th on Tuesday with an all-star lineup. And then July 14th through 17th at the Punchline in San Francisco. That Tuesday is at the Punchline in San Francisco, also with Chris Garcia.
Great.
So you've got 11 chances to see me and Chris Garcia. He's fantastic. I'm okay. I'm pretty good, you know. I promise not to roast. I'll probably roast the Kings. I'll be honest. I will make fun of somebody on the Kings at every show.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter @FrankieMuniz. where on 7/12/2014, I tweeted, Crispix for dinner.
God.
Also, listen to me. I was on the Frotcast last week, the Film Drop Frotcast. And I'll be on there. I'll be on the They're All Handsome podcast next week.
Oh, awesome.
Do Nuts.
Oh, God, that's a great. That's good.
Talking about Kingdom Hearts, sort of.
God, that's great. Best.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did. This is continuing my Sufjan John Stevens theme of songs about NBA cities. This is every NBA city. This one's at Chicago, and it's called The Boylan's a Bummer. It's a Don Henley song.
Great. That's playing under us right now. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all go home unless you're Haralabob. Fuck, Sean, we forgot to talk about the playoffs.
Oh, it's too late.
Nobody's fighting Doc. Nobody's clocking in. Nobody's doing push-ups. Nobody's running sprints. Empty stands, empty bench. Got Foreman's home alone. I'm driving by his house, so I see Paxson's car there. I can see him, his bald head shining in the sun. I see him eating dry cereal with family viewed on, baby. I can tell you the lottery streak will still be on, even though Boylan's a bummer and he's gone. I never will forget that game. The team was down by 25. A minute left in regulation, and Coach Boylan was calling time. Now I don't understand what happened to that young, but Billy D's gonna get him back. He's gonna run a modern offense. I can see him, his bald head shining in the sun. I see him blocking the view of the Bulls announcers, baby. I can tell you there's no hope for Lauri Markkanen. All the Boylan's a bummer and he's gone.
You know, Jim Boylan made up his own t-shirts with inspirational slogans. The guys just laughed at him. Like, in front of other players. De'Aaron Fox made fun of him for being a bad coach. And he's on the Sacramento Kings. His coach is Luke Walton. And he still made fun of Jim Boylan. Imagine that. You're sadder than the Sacramento Kings. My God. Way back in training camp, he gave a wrestling belt to the one-on-one champ. A little voice from the backup center said, E.I., but I don't like him a lot. I thought he'd be a disaster, what did I know? Jim Boylan's gone forever, but this team really blows. I can see him pulling his starters all at once. He's ignoring Daniel Gafford until the other team fouled, baby. I can tell you the player mutiny was strong, because Boylan's a bummer and he's gone. I can see him, his bald head shining in the sun. I see him eating dry cereal with family viewed on, baby. I can tell you the lottery streak will still be on, even the Boylan's a bummer and he's gone.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.